This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So I wanted to start, inshallah, our hot topics with a question related with the UK elections coming up. What's the ruling on voting? Is it haram? Is it shirk? Is it kufr? Is it permissible?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan il-alameen. بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. First and foremost, جزاكم الله خير, Mr. Furqan. They're always kind and generous in inviting me over for these discussions. And also, alhamdulillah, today we went through a very important poem that covers the best of etiquettes. So with regards to this question, this is an issue that has already been spoken about time and time again by the scholars, right? They've dealt with this contemporary issue. However, it's a question that pops up every single time when there is an election taking place. So to break the question down, first and foremost, why do people associate the topic of elections with shirk and kufr? I think it's important that we understand that, and then inshallah ta'ala, we can perhaps cite some of the reasonings and the effective causes that the ulama have mentioned when they said it is permissible in certain circumstances. But firstly, where did this whole shirk and kufr come from? Right? And I think it's only fair to touch on this. Think about it, my brothers and my sisters. When you are now voting someone into power, and he is now going to be adhering to man-made laws, right? As a Muslim, which laws should we be adhering to? The laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We know that sovereignty, right? Lawmaking, governance belongs to who? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Sovereignty, lawmaking, right? Governance, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is He who puts down rules and regulations, laws that are in the best interest of the Muslims and society as a whole. Agreed? Likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or should I say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the Quran, do they wish for the hukm of jahiliyyah? Right? Also Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Whoever doesn't now rule by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, he is indeed from the kafirun. So as we mentioned, we can agree that lawmaking belongs to who? Belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we need to understand the following, my brothers and my sisters. The Sharia is fixed. However, we have a flexible framework within our Sharia that adjusts the variables due to the changes that happens within this very quickly changing reality on the ground that we have to deal with. Circumstances change, isn't that so? Right? So there is a level of flexibility and adaptability within our Sharia. When we have these changes that take place, the fatwa may change. This is why when you study fiqh, you may come across a legal maxim, تغير الفتوى بتغير الزمان والمكان, where a fatwa changes because of the time and place. Are you brothers and sisters with me? This is why perhaps many of the ulama, whether they are in Saudi Arabia or outside of Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Nasr al-Barak, Sheikh Ibn Jibreen, right? And many other scholars. These are some of the household names. I'm mentioning them because many of our brothers who may follow a certain persuasion or leaning, they take from these scholars. They mentioned certain circumstances, such as if this candidate is going to serve the Muslims, or he is a better option for the Muslims, or he is the best of the two evils that you have, or he is able to lessen the evil, right? You can vote for that individual. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Like I mentioned, our Sharia is fixed. However, due to the flexible framework that we have within our Sharia, it adjusts the variables due to the change of circumstance, right? We have different leading legal maxims within our Sharia. The Sharia is fixed. However, because of these occurrences and changes and these situations that we find ourselves in, it would fall under one of these leading legal maxims. قواعد فقهية. We've heard of it, right? You have the Kubra, the five leading legal maxims, and then you have so many other legalities, right? And legal maxims that the scholars have mentioned over time. Okay? So what are some of these legal maxims? You have this legal maxim called weighing between the pros and the cons. Have we heard of this before? Al-Masalih wal-Mafasid. Al-Si'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, is qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. You can say Al-Si'di and Sa'di, but many say that it's more correct to say Al-Si'di. He says, الدين مبني على المصالح في جلبها والدرء للقبائح فإن تزاحم عدد المصالح يقدم الأعلى من المصالح وضده تزاحم المفاسد يرتكب الأدنى من المفاسد. When you're in a predicament and you have one of two options, there isn't a third option. If we had the best of options, we would have to take that, but you only have these two. And both of them are bad, but one is a lot better than the other because of his track record. However, if both of them are really no different to one another, in that case, you wouldn't. Does that make sense? But you have a candidate. I'll give you guys an example now. In Leicester, we have a candidate, right? Over 95% of the Muslims, right? And even the masajid are all standing behind him. I've never seen anything like this, right? Them uniting behind a certain candidate. Far better, right, than whatever else that you currently have on the menu. So in that case, what does the Sharia say to you? And by the way, this principle of weighing between the pros and the cons, if you're in a predicament and you have two evils, you take the lesser of the two evils. This legal maxim, it doesn't only apply to one or two things in our Sharia. No, it extends to all aspects of our deen. This is why he said, "Ad-deenu mabniun 'ala al-masalih." The whole religion is built on weighing between the pros and the cons. Did everyone get that? I know it's a bit of a controversial topic, but this is why many of the ulama, even though the asal, the base origin, they say that you shouldn't. But when we have a change of circumstance, right, the Sharia, right, because of the flexible framework that it has, it adjusts to these variables and changes and the ever quickly changing reality on the ground, right? And we will continue having modern day occurrences and things that unfold within our reality that we have to deal with, right? And fiqh is required, right? Modern day fiqh is required in order to be able to deal with it, even though our sharia is fixed. It tells you halal and haram, while at the same time you have what? Legal maxims that adjust the different circumstances that the sharia itself propagates. Did everyone get that? Am I calling to kufr and shirk now? Huh? No, I'm not. No. It's important that I make you all understand why many of the ulama would take a position. And it's not just specific to ulama in a certain locality. La, I've looked at countless fatawa. Just the other day when we were having this discussion in a WhatsApp group, I was sitting in front of 30 fatawa. But then you have individuals that may come along and just give a blanket statement without really even understanding. Even Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, who by the way, passed away in 728. I'm Abu Taymiyyah, Ibn Taymiyyah. Over 700 years ago, so it's not me. Right? He doesn't have a horse in the race. He has fatawa, right, from over 700 years ago, where he's asked about someone taking up a position, right, where he's able to establish justice, even if it's not all, but some. Or he's able to lessen, right? يُقَلِّلْ مِنَ الْمَفَاسِدِ. Right? The evils that will come out of the situation. He gives the fatwa at times, it may even be wajib upon him to be in that position. Like, I'll give you guys an example. Me, right? Just take me for an example. If there is an institution and I'm able to go in there and lessen the evil, and these people, my brothers and my sisters, they're in la-la land or in no man's land. Right? And I believe that I can make significant change. Right? Should I now withhold from it? And this institution now is extremely well known and they're having a big impact, but they still require, right, guidance in making things better. Now, I'm not running for presidency, huh? I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm talking about just generally. Right? This is when these principles will come in handy. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect me from that. لا تسألوا الإمارة. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dharr, don't ask for Imara leadership. It comes with a lot of headache. Yesterday, as we were walking out the masjid, right, as soon as I reached the outside doors, there was a guy holding a camera in my face. Right, wanting for me to advocate or to promote or to propagate his party. Right, and I spoke about it very, very generally. Those who attended the Hot Topics discussion yesterday, remember the answer that I gave. Did I mention anyone's name? All I done was, JazakAllah khair, look, we have witnesses. Huh? All I did was teach the people how some of the scholars would reach a certain conclusion. Because a lot of the time, the ammatun nas, the common folk, they're in the dark with regards to how, right, verdicts are issued. And how the scholars, they reach those conclusions. But because we don't have the tools and we lack the knowledge, sometimes we look at a fatwa and we think to ourselves, how can the sheikh allow such shirk and kufr? That's due to our shallow understanding. And I talked about how a sharia is fixed. This is exactly what Imam Shatibi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. So he doesn't have a horse in the race. Right? In his kitab al-muwafaqat, how our sharia is fixed. But we have a flexible framework within our sharia that adjusts to variables due to the changes in our circumstances. We have this very quick changing reality on the ground. Right? We have modern day fiqh that deals with these modern day problems. Right? Our sharia is fixed, but there is room for adaptability within our sharia due to the many qawa'id al-fiqhiyya that we have. And we talked about al-masalih wal-mafasid, which is a very important legal maxim, weighing between the pros and the cons. And why some of the ulama, they mentioned that you may partake in voting if certain conditions are met. Did I mention anyone's name? I didn't. I gave you all principles, right? I gave you all a framework, and the scholars, they are the ones, people of knowledge, that determine when it should and when it shouldn't, right? Allah musta'an, he brought this to my attention. And I explained why some may say that the concept of man-made laws is a shirky practice, and you now voting someone into power, you may well be assisting someone in, right, applying some of these man-made laws. And how? Sovereignty, right, governance, lawmaking, all belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. Inil hukmu illa lillah. This is what I quoted. So I did not promote anyone specifically. Nor did I do that anywhere else. But it's important, right, that I enlighten the community as to how these ulama, and I quoted many of the ulama yesterday, right, across the spectrum, it's not just specific to a certain locality, whether it may be Saudi, whether it may be Egypt, whether it may be Kuwait, others, they may have, in certain circumstances, given the fatwa, that you can participate, even though the asal is that they believe it to be haram, but they gave the fatwa, likewise in Majma' al-Fiqhi, right? Lesser of the two evils, or he is lessening the evil that is going to come out of this situation, right? Or this particular candidate, he will be a lot more softer on the Muslims, or he will serve the interest a lot better than the other candidate in cases like that. Right? Allahumma salli. JazakAllah khair for bringing it to my attention.